Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is a fun week here at Worldwide KFUO, welcoming Pastor Jonathan Fisk as our new host here at Worldwide KFUO, hosting His Time and Cross Defense, joining us on as one of the hosts of Concord Matters. And what a joy and delight to introduce his whole family here today, the family Fisk in studio here for Faith and Family today. Good morning, Pastor Fisk.
Good morning.
And you have brought along this joyful troop, all bearing the last name Fisk. Meredith, your lovely bride. Meredith, so glad to have you in studio this morning.
Thank you.
And you have brought, what, how many do we have here? One, two, three, I've lost count.
Five.
Five beautiful children in studio this morning. And let's talk about the Fisk family. Pastor Fisk, you want to, let's see, who do we start with, the oldest?
Yeah, sure. My oldest is Chloe, and she is 11 years old at the moment, soon to be 12. Want to say hello, Chloe?
Hi.
And then we have our second, Anastasia. She is 9 years old right now.
Hi.
And then our third one, you can maybe remember the name this way, is Trinity, the third one.
Hi.
And she's 7 now. And then my first boy showed up quite a bit later. We weren't sure if he'd come along. But Fides from Sola Fide, Faith Alone, he is 5 years old now.
Hi.
They all sound the same, apparently. And then our youngest, Alleluia, is just 3 years old now. See if she'll talk. Oh, there she went. Good.
Adorable. Oh, man. The cuteness factor in the studio just went up. Not, you know, that it isn't, you know, a pretty good cuteness factor.
When you're here, Andy.
I know.
It's like the walls are exploding.
We're just oozing with cuteness in this studio today, and we'll share some pictures in a little while as well. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio. Now, I love sharing family stories, where the family began, and it's always better to ask the bride this. Than
story.
Where the Fisk family began. Where did you meet Jonathan?
Jonathan was over in Hungary for a 6-month stint as a missionary, and I came over the last, I guess it was week of his stay there, for a 2-week mission trip with Concordia Irvine. And he showed us around the town that we were there in, Sopron, Hungary. He asked me to go for walks with him, and he showed me around the Roman ruins of
There hadn't
Sopron.
Been a native English-speaking woman around for quite a while, and suddenly there was about 25 people that showed up, and she was the only one that wanted to talk to me. So I kept asking her to talk to me.
And so little by little, I got to know him and realized that he was a brother in Christ that I didn't want to lose. But he knew sooner than I did.
3 days in, I wrote my mother an email. I said, I think I found her.
So you were serving as a short-term missionary.
Yeah, we call them geo-missionaries now, right? Yeah. And I was teaching English as a second language at Bergeny Daniel Evangelicus Lyceum Gymnasium, which, believe it or not, is a grade school and high school that was started by a compatriot, somebody the same era as Philip Melanchthon, and was one of the first schools to begin implicating Melanchthon's educational program. So deep roots in Lutheranism. I didn't do a lot of what I would call real mission work. It was more of a liaison for the LCMS at that point.
So you were teaching English, is that
teaching,
right?
Teaching, trying to. Playing a lot of Scrabble with kids who were moderate English speakers. Sadly, I was sort of the token American teacher. They didn't give me the good students. They were preparing them for these massive tests they had to take, and so they needed somebody who had their curriculum all down. So they gave me the students who really were failing out of English, and we got to try to talk to each other across this ridiculous language barrier for a while, and a lot of Scrabble. Scrabble was fun.
And then comes this young, lovely lady on a short-term, 2-week mission trip with students from Concordia University, Irvine, and she speaks English very well.
Yeah, very well. And you want to tell them more or less my first words to you? Do you remember this? We're walking to the bank?
Well, we were walking to exchange our money from American dollars to Hungarian...
Oh, I don't remember
I don't even remember what they're called. But, and I walked behind him, noticing that he was all by himself and not in the group. And so, but I was too shy to come up and actually present myself. So I just walked behind him, and then he turned around a little and noticed me, and he said, "Hey, what's your name again?" And I said, "Oh, Meredith." And he goes, "How old are you?" And I said, "Oh, 18. And he goes, "You're just a kid." And I thought, oh, man, well, my chances of ever going forward with this relationship are over.
Best pickup line ever. "You're just a kid." Right? It works, fellas. It works.
Yeah. So.
And so you continued to get to know each other. I assume you both came back to the United States.
Right. I got a job teaching at a Lutheran high school in La Verne, California, through a connection through that same mission group from Concordia Irvine. So I ended up being within an hour's drive of where she was then back at school 2 weeks later. Drove up to meet them at the airport and give her a flower as they got off the plane and all that kind of silly mushy stuff you
Daisies,
do when you're young.
Daisy's my favorite.
But we weren't sure what we were going to do, but we figured out pretty quick we wanted to get married. Why waste time? So within 6 months, we tied the knot. And in that time, we also decided, hey, let's give this pastor thing a shot. We visited her folks up in Northern California, and at her church, one of the Concordia Seminary recruiters was preaching that weekend. So, a lot of really random events. Meet in Europe, come back to L.A., visit Northern California, and end up in St. Louis within a year of meeting each other. Not the way you write it up in the playbook usually, but it's been pretty good. Yeah.
And then eventually headed off to seminary.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Came to St. Louis. And what was seminary life like as a seminary wife?
Well, I worked a lot, at first.
At Caldy's. She worked at Caldy's, the original one.
I worked at Caldy's. And I started out as a barista. I had a lot of regulars who really liked my drinks, but I was too slow. I was a perfectionist. And so I got kicked out of the cafe and was put in the bakery area. So I would help out with the cookies and I learned how to bake pretty well, which was fortunate for my husband because I did not have a lot of cooking experience prior to marriage. And then
put about 30 pounds on me over the next 4 years.
And then I learned how to make soup, which has helped to feed our family here as we grow. But then I worked, I had a lot of odd jobs. I also took a few seminary wives classes that were very informational. I learned how to embroider stoles, ecclesiastical embroidery. And for better or for worse, my husband has faithfully worn his set that his mother and I have provided him, but now I think it's finally retired. We're going to move on to the more professional stuff.
But still very meaningful.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, she did tremendous work.
Outstanding. And from seminary, called to serve in a variety of places. And
been quite the road.
Yeah.
Again, not the way you would draw it up. My initial call was to be a missionary, kind of, in New Jersey. It was what was called a revitalization project, which is you take a congregation that has dwindled over time to a pretty small level and see if you can turn it around. There was a couple of things. There was some animosity between the district and the congregation to begin with, and the district was funding it along with another congregation, and that other congregation found itself very, maybe unexpectedly, on the verge of bankruptcy. So all the money dwindled up immediately, and on top of that, that animosity created a very hostile environment. So pretty quickly we decided that this was not a good place to try to restart a new church. And I had to find another call. So, and this is just 6 months out of seminary. And we ended up filling a pulpit down the Philadelphia area at St. John's Lutheran Church in Springfield, just outside Western Philadelphia. And that's where we really could think of as my first call where I worked. And we were there for 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. And part of Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries as well, a mission organization geared at trying to reach the inner city there. And we now have missionary Adam DeGroot is down there doing work, partly because of some of the pieces that got moved, not entirely by me, but by me and another gentleman down there preparing to get a missionary going back into the city that had largely been left in the 50s.
So, Meredith, did you ever think before you were married that what the adventure would be like marrying a pastor who would, eventually be moving around a little bit and you would eventually land in St. Louis again?
Yeah.
Talk about the toilet bowl.
Yeah. when we were leaving St. Louis to go to, I guess it was New Jersey, we put our car on a trailer. For some reason, we had a trailer.
Yeah.
And the tire got flat. I think we were just outside of East St. Louis.
We have one car and we have a U-Haul. And so we get a trailer for the one car, and within 45 miles, the trailer gets a flat tire. We're barely an hour into the drive, and we can't leave St. Louis.
And
we just can't leave.
I had hoped so ardently that we would get Vicarage outside of the Midwest and just kind of be able to explore, like, Hawaii or Alaska, somewhere exotic. And we end up in a small town. It was a great little town in Quincy, Illinois. So we kind of stayed in the area.
For Vicarage.
And then finally we were on our way
to New Jersey, exotic New Jersey.
And we got a flat tire. And I said, Jonathan, the Midwest is like a toilet bowl. You just go around and around and you never get out.
And now
we're back.
Now we're back. But I will say, we've lived a number of places now. We've lived Philadelphia. We've lived New Jersey. We've lived in Chicago. We've lived in North Dakota. All great spots in their own right. The only place I've ever felt like I'm coming back home to or really wanted to be again is St. Louis. And when I was driving down for the interview the first time here, the closer I got to St. Louis, the more I just kind of felt good. And so we're not, I don't think I'm upset to be flushed back down into St. Louis. Pretty glad to be here.
So your perspective on the Midwest is changing.
Yes. Of all the places we've lived, the Midwest has a hospitality level that you just can't find in other places, especially the coasts. And up in North Dakota, they have it as well. But coming back to St. Louis, it was like coming home in a sense.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
So the family started to grow, and you started one by one, all these little blessings started becoming a part of the Fisk family and learning about their each unique personality and talents and gifts. And when did your first child come along? Where were you at that time?
We were on Vicarage. I guess it was halfway in.
Yep. Christmas time in Vicarage. Yep. We got Chloe's.
So Chloe's had the privilege of seeing life of traveling as a pastor and a seminary and things like that. So you probably don't remember seminary days though, do you?
No, not at all.
What is, of all the places you've lived, Chloe, what are some of the favorites or some of the highlights from the places you've lived?
I really feel like Chicago was... Well, it's kind of where my memories start, so I always feel like that was kind of where, I feel like we lived there longest, although we lived there not that much, actually. So that's kind of, the place where my memories start. Mm-hmm. So that's my home base, I guess.
Sure, that's your point of reference for everything else.
Yeah. So, and then I really liked North Dakota a lot because, again, it's like my memories don't really start anywhere else.
What did you like about North Dakota? Was there anything specifically?
I guess the, like Mother said, the hospitality was a lot. There was a lot of kindness that we were received in.
What was across the street?
Oh, the pool. That was awesome. I'm really going
to
miss that.
What I wanted to ask you is, so having been at several congregations then, what's the thing that you like most that you find in every Lutheran congregation?
I like hearing the Word of God, especially when my dad preaches.
Oh, geez, well.
But I like the Lord's Supper because it gives me reassurance that I'm going to be saved. So, like I said, the Word of God. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Very good. What are some of the Fisk family favorite things to do? Obviously, gathering around God's Word. What are some of the things you like to do for fun and recreation when you have a chance to relax and have some fun?
Swimming? Yeah.
Yes. Who's the best swimmer in the family so far?
Oh, that's tough. Fides is pretty good, but Anastasia's very daring.
Yes.
Thank you, Mother.
And Trinity, she's a long-distance swimmer. She's got a really good endurance.
Do we?
Thank you.
Do we have any divers in the family yet?
Well, this last summer, I mean, again, the pool was right across the street, so we bought a family pass, and it was just like, go across the street, kids. And they got pretty good, not just at diving, but at going off. What do you go off sometimes, Trinity?
The high dive.
The high dive, yeah. And Anastasia, what do you do off the high dive sometimes?
Flips.
I'm terrified to walk off the high dive. And I'm watching these kids literally do flips off the high dive. I guess Fides, too, was trying to work on flips in the on the low dive as well, yeah? Yeah? Do you want to say something about swimming pool? What's your favorite thing about swimming pool?
High dive.
Yeah? Just jumping off it? Do you cannonballs?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you hold your nose?
No. I can go on the low dive.
You can go on the low dive?
That was Alleluia speaking there.
Do you like swimming too? So the whole Fisk family likes swimming. I love swimming too. I swim almost every day during the week. It's a good exercise, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can't tell when you're sweating. That's the best part.
Yeah.
All right. What are some of the other Fisk family favorites?
I'm really surprised they said swimming, because the thing that they always want to do and aren't ever allowed to do...
Video games.
And which video games in particular do all of you play at the same time?
Minecraft.
You got a Minecraft family here.
Everybody loves video games, huh? So is that a special treat?
Yeah.
Pretty much. We kind of have video game Sundays where we get to play for about an hour every Sunday if there's a chance.
Yeah. We believe in teaching media ecology, which means teaching the children how to engage the media without ODing on it, right? And so video games are a tool, they're a gift, but they also need a limited quantity. And when you're a young mind, we want to give them the chance to expand and play with real blocks, right? Like Legos, and play outside and those kinds of things. But maybe more than an hour. I think you guys get a little more than an hour on Sunday afternoons, maybe an hour during the week sometime.
What are Fisk family favorite meals? What's your favorite meal at the Fisk household?
Pizza.
Pizza? What do you like on your pizza?
Cheese.
Wouldn't be the same without it. We have a unique situation in the family because of a couple of our children. Anna said, do you want to talk about what makes you unique when it comes to eating?
Well, I have food allergies. And so if I eat one of the foods that I'm allergic to, I get really sick. And sometimes I have to go to the emergency room.
Because it can even cause your throat to...
swell up, and then I can't breathe.
Yeah, so can you say what all the foods are you're allergic to?
I'm allergic to wheat, dairy, eggs, nuts, and sesame seeds.
Right, and so when we cook, we either have to have two meals... we have to eat something we call it Anastasia friendly. And this is a pretty big deal, actually, the rise of significant allergies, food allergies among kids. So, and then Alleluia, the youngest, she has almost the same list. Can she say her list?
Can you say you're allergic to soy?
No, she's afraid right now. Almost the same list. The problem is she switched out wheat for soy. So we can't actually make the same food for the two kids. We have to make even a third food sometimes for them, or find a real specific way. So, Anastasia, what would be your favorite thing that mother makes you from scratch, though? Or your favorite thing we find and buy you in a box?
Well, my favorite thing that she makes me usually, I think, would be muffins.
Ah.
And the thing she buys me...
That's all right. And we got one more. If you want to go one more thing that they all have in common, with the exception of the boy over here for the most part, what's the thing that has a store here in St. Louis that you're really excited about?
American
now?
Girl doll.
Yeah, so they all have American Girl dolls. Trinity, you want to say something about what you love best about American Girl dolls?
Well, I like playing with them and pretending that when I go to the pool, they go to the pool, and I have an American Girl doll swimsuit for my doll.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can dress her up in that, and then I can head over to the pool and then swim.
Big business, American Girl dolls. Wish I'd thought of it, really.
So any other meals that others in the family like, other favorite family meals? Fides, what's your favorite?
Why don't we try? When the sisters are playing American Girl dolls, what's the game you're pretending to play that I sometimes play that you like to be?
Fallout 4.
That's right. So it's a post-apocalyptic game where you're trying to save settlers, and he runs around with what do you make out of your Legos?
Guns.
Yeah, he has an arsenal of guns for killing all the mutated creatures that are trying to hurt the settlers. And so he, in theory, is doing that, although at times he's shooting his sisters, and we have to work on. We don't shoot the women, son. We protect them.
Important lessons to learn very early.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, what have you, in your short time here so far, or in your return to St. Louis, what are some things that that you have ventured out to see? I know you're still unpacking boxes. Anything you've had a chance to venture out and see here in St. Louis that you liked?
We went to the zoo when we visited here to choose a house. That was pretty awesome, although the day we went there it started raining, so we didn't really get to see it that much. But I'm really looking forward to going back.
But we did go back a second time, remember?
Yeah, but it was raining.
St. Louis has a very unique zoo in that it's free.
Right. It's great.
Which is great.
I'm looking forward to taking them to the Science Center. I never went there when I was here at seminary. I saw the zoo. But then every time I drive by that Science Center, I'm like, that thing looks cool. So looking forward to going to that. We went to church this weekend, visited a congregation. We left town, but this is kind of one of the things that makes us excited. My folks live in Kansas City, so we've been, generally speaking, 15 to 10 and a half hours away from them for the last 10 years, and now we're just 3.5 hours away, 4 hours away there. And then I have some extended family who have relations in Concordia, Missouri. So this weekend, we drove out to Concordia, just passed it to go to a baby shower for one of my cousins. So family engagement, something we're very much excited about and haven't had for a while.
The fact that you can hop in a car and drive, and it doesn't take 10 hours to get there.
Yeah, right. As opposed to hop in a car and drive to Walmart, which is 2 hours away, which God bless North Dakota. We need those farmers up there. They do good work. But they certainly get a hop in a car and drive further than you're used to around these parts. So,
especially when you're used to walking to places.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a different lifestyle for sure than someone who grew up in, I'm sure, one of the big cities on the coast.
Yeah. Myself, I'm definitely a city boy. I'm glad I had the small town experience, but I know where my roots are now. And Meredith loved the small town quite a bit more than I did, I think.
Yeah, I did. I grew up in the agricultural part of Northern California, and so we had lamb festival and tomato. When I was in cross country in high school, we would run through tomato fields and cow pastures, and the coach would say, "Watch out for the cow pies." And so coming back to or going to North Dakota was a little bit like going home for me as well. Mm-hmm. But I guess I've said that more than once today, so I guess maybe I've moved around enough that
we're just about out of time. We got to wrap up here, but with just about 20 seconds left, any particular adventures you're looking to checking out here in St. Louis as a family?
The art museum.
Yeah,
the Science Center, seeing friends.
And Fides is thinking deeply.
Fisk family, thank you so much for coming in today, sharing your story, and for coming to St. Louis and being a part of the KFUO family. Glad to have you here today. Thanks for being my guest.
No problem.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.